2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3. We're just going to respond to Brother Dave's song. Is that all right? I'm going to give you some word this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. But grow in grace. Everybody say, grow in grace. Now, how is it possible that you and I would grow in something that has already been deposited in us at the new birth in our spirits, and we have all grace in our spirits? How is that possible? Well, just like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, 16, we have the mind of Christ. Where do we have the mind of Christ? In our spirits. Those of you who just received the Lord, or have recently been saved here, all the hundreds that have been saved here, when you got born again, see, you are a three-part being. Everybody say, I am three parts. Spirit, soul, body. Now, you know what your body is, right? Okay? The thing you fight with or live with every day. And then your soul, that is your mind and your will and your emotions. Your spirit man is the part of you that's born again. When you got saved, you became a new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. That's where that happened, in your spirit. And when you pass away and you leave this life and you go to heaven, your spirit and soul go together. Okay? That's the inward man. That's your heart. Your heart is comprised of your spirit and your soul. And so, but what part of you do you already have all grace? It's in your spirit, right? But where would we need to grow in grace? In our souls, right? Okay, the Bible says God created us. In the beginning, He created us in His image, His likeness, and then He said, have dominion. Everybody say, His image, His likeness, have dominion. Now, we want to all jump to the dominion area, especially us men. We want to walk in authority and dominion. But listen, remember, we were created in His image. That's when we're born again, in our spirit, His image. His likeness is in our soul. When our souls come into alignment with our spirit, in other words, when our souls are like our spirit, we're going to walk in full dominion. Do you got that? And so we do need to grow, but where we need to grow is in our souls. That our minds need to be renewed. We need to be awakened to what we have in Christ, all that He's done for us, right? Amen. So there's more areas that we can grow in, and Jesus was full of grace and truth, and that's what I want to walk in too. Now I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. Manifold means, it means, or manifold, it means many-sided or varied forms. In other words, the grace of God is multidimensional. Now, let me tell you guys something. There is a lot emphasized in the body of Christ, on television, on the internet, Facebook, everything else about the grace of God today. In fact, I teach at one of the foremost Grace Bible College, Charis Bible College. It means grace, that word charis. And so we get a lot of teaching on grace. And can I tell you, everything that's hooked to the name grace is not grace. I mean, there's a lot of junk out there. There is a lot of doctrine that it either borders on or is is just all out universalism, which means, you know, Jesus did everything. I don't have to do anything. There's no response necessary for man to be saved. And, you know, Jesus did it all, so we're all saved, whether there's a response or not. In the end, everybody's going to be saved. Well, if that's true, why do we need to go out and preach? Yeah? No, listen, guys. How many of you know your trick question? How many of you know you're saved by grace? Wrong. You're not. I told you it was a trick question. By grace, you are saved through?
Faith.
By grace, you're saved through?
Faith.
See, grace and faith are both necessary in anything you receive from God. And by themselves, you isolate them. They're like what are the two elements that if you put them together, they become salt? Is it sodium chloride? Is that right? Okay. Sodium and chloride, independent of each other, if you ingest either one of them independent of the other in enough volume, it can be deadly. Are you with me? But you put them together, and they become something you and I cannot live without. And so there's a lot going on and spoken in the name of grace, and they're hitching, many people are trying to hitch your grace wagon to their universalistic doctrine. You don't need to be like a baby bird. Amen? We need to look at things in light of the Word. In fact, many times they're undermining the Word of God and telling you if you use the Word, if you use the Scripture too much, you know, you're a legalist. Well, anyway, grace is, it says here, the grace is multidimensional. That means it's got many sides. There's not just one aspect of grace. And what I'm going to talk to you about this evening, I'm going to talk to you about the dimensions of grace. The dimensions of grace. All right? Did he say it was manifold? Did he say we could grow in it? What we need to grow in is understanding the dimensions of grace. How many of you are a sports fan? Any of you sports fans out there? You know, a good football team, a good professional football team, it's got many dimensions or many aspects to be successful. You've got talent acquisition, right? Okay, like one coach that was 0-10. This high school coach was 0-10, and he said, "Well, we may be small, but we're slow." I mean, they needed some talent, okay? You got talent acquisition, you've got coaching, you've got the running game, the passing game, defense, special teams. There were a couple of years, more than this, but specific 2 years at Decatur, Texas, Decatur High School football team, man, they had some awesome teams. And 1 year, I think, was 1988, 89, along in there. And they did great throughout the whole season, you know. But they, I think even in their district, they had South Lake Carroll. And they were 3A at that time. Now they're 5A. But then, I mean, they ran the table except against South Lake Carroll. Well, then in semifinals in state, they ran into South Lake Carroll again. Well, their defense was really good. I mean, Decatur's defense was really good. In fact, their offense was good. But they were one-dimensional. I mean, all they had was a running game. I mean, that coach, if he called three pass plays in the game, I mean, you know, that was an abundance for him. And so all that South Lake Carroll did was they just put nine men in the box on the line, and then they just had two safeties back there, and I mean, they just ate our lunch and beat us 23-0. Another year, I think it was 2003, Decatur had this, they had the best team in the state. They beat the eventual state champions in regular season 44-7. Then they played in a quarterfinal or semifinal against this same team, but they had the best passer in the state and the best running back in the state in 3A. This little running back was like Emmett Smith, but he got hurt in the game before this game, and then he became one-dimensional. Are you with me? And we lost. We went into their red zone 9 times and came out with 3 scores. They got 2 times, and they got 2 scores, and they beat us 14-13. And so here's what I'm saying. You can be, listen, guys, if you only understand one dimension of grace, the enemy can eat your lunch. And like Andrew says, pop the bag. Are you with me? And we've got to be more than one-dimensional in grace. We've got to understand there's more to grace than just one thing about it that we've heard. And I'm going to talk about these dimensions today. I was in a meeting where Andrew was teaching, and he was talking about the good ground. The sower sows the word. In Mark chapter 4. And he was talking about the different types of ground. But he said, notice this, when Jesus describes the good ground, he said the good ground, now the other grounds didn't produce. The good ground produced what? 30, 60, 100 fold. He said, wait a minute. He said, the seed was the same. Yet even the good ground produced 30, 60, 100 fold. Why was there varying degrees of fruitfulness even in good ground? I want to submit to you because it's possible because we don't understand the full dimensions of grace. Our hearts will expand so we can produce more. How many of you want to see more in your life? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, this evening, and tonight. We're going to pray for everybody here, and we're going to release a spirit of increase over you because this is what I believe about 2013. It's not an unlucky year. Amen. It's a blessed year. And it's a year of grace. Amen? And it's a year of open doors. It's a year of new assignments. And it's a year of increase in promotion. I know that. I know what grace has ordained for you, and so we're going to lay hands on you. The staff is going to help me to pray for you tonight. I'm not going to teach long tonight, but we're going to pray, and we're going to let God speak grace over you and increase over you, and it's going to be awesome. All right. So I want to talk about, you know, Jesus was full of grace and truth. How many of you know that's available for you? So the dimensions of grace that God has shown me. Now, I'm not telling you this is all comprehensive, but these are things. This message got birthed in me when I was teaching at Karis Bible College. I had a second year student come up to me and he said, "You know, my understanding of grace, what I've understood about grace was that basically God loves me. He's forgiven me. He cuts me slack when I mess up. You know, and He loves me anyway." How many of you know that's true? But he said, what I'm hearing, and I wasn't teaching this specific thing, but he said, what I'm hearing through you is that there's another side to grace, and that is I've got responsibility not only to receive the benefit of what Jesus did for me, but I've also got responsibility for what He wants to do through me. Yeah? And so we're going to talk about that. So, number one, dimension of grace. I just call it the goodness of God grace. Everybody say goodness of God. Yeah, I wouldn't probably put the apostrophe S. I'd just say goodness of God, or you could say good God grace. How many of you know God's a good God? Amen. What do we mean here? And you guys have heard this, okay, so don't go to sleep on me, all right, because we're going somewhere. How many of you want to grow in grace? How many of you want to? How many of you want to be a hundredfold producing good ground? Okay, all right. This has to do with understanding His unconditional love toward us. It really is all the things in Ephesians 1 through Ephesians 3. So let's look at Ephesians 1 for a moment, and we'll just look at a few verses. Ephesians 1. These are all the things. If you read Ephesians 1 through Ephesians 3, he's talking about all that he's done for us, all how he loves us, what he's given to us, what happened in redemption. You know, when Jesus died for your sins, how many of you understand, man, he paid the complete price for you and I to live an abundant life and to live forever in heaven. Thank God. It's not dependent upon you and me. It's not dependent on our works. It's not dependent on whether I was nice to my wife. Now, my relationship with her might depend on that. But, you know, my God's grace doesn't depend upon what I do. So, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Say, "I'm blessed." "I'm not lucky." Say, "I'm not lucky." "I'm blessed." "With every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Verse 4, "just as he chose us." Say, "I'm chosen." "Man, that we should be holy." Say, "I'm holy." "And without blame." That's, you got a little weaker. Say, "I'm without blame." "I'm holy." "Without blame." And in verse 5, "predestined to adoption as sons." Say, I'm adopted. I'm in the family. Then verse 6, "he made us accepted in the beloved." Say, "I'm accepted." "I'm not rejected." "I'm accepted." Praise God. This is awesome, isn't it? Then look at verse 7. "In whom we have redemption." You know, really, I could call this redemption grace. It would be another way to say it. But it's just all these good things we have because of what Jesus has done. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his what? So this is a dimension of grace. And we can go on. I mean, we're sealed. We've got an verse 11, we've got an inheritance. Verse 13, we're sealed. Chapter 2, verse 1, we were made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Then we're seated together in verse chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. We're seated together with him in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 3, he wants us to comprehend the love of God. I mean, all these things that we have because of what Jesus has done. Nothing you and I can do to earn it. So all you that received the Lord recently, chill out. Just take a big chill pill. Okay? Man, don't, I mean, stop being so tough on yourself. It's here, you need to cut yourself some slack. How many of you ever played golf? You ever play golf? You know what a mulligan is? Okay. Just give yourself a mulligan. You know what, you know, you get to have a do-over. Praise God. Thank God for do-overs. Amen. Man, it's awesome. And so all these things, you know, when you understand this dimension of grace, you understand God's not mad at you. He's not sitting in heaven with a ball bat just waiting for you to miss it, knock you in the head, slap you around like some church folks come across. Yeah? I mean, when you understand this dimension of grace, it frees us from living in guilt and fear, the fear of man, works and performance. It's here we realize that there's nothing we can do to make God love us more or love us less. Now, what we do by His grace can affect our love for God, and it can affect what God does through us, but it doesn't affect God's love for us, right? Isn't that true? All of these things, man, it's just awesome. In fact, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. This kind of sums it up. And we could say a lot about this, but see, a lot has been said about this. In fact, here's the deal, Mark. A lot of things taught about grace essentially are this, that this dimension of grace is the only dimension of grace. There's not any more. But I read, and you read a minute ago, that grace is manifold. It's multidimensional. So what does that mean? There's more than one side to it. And all that I've been hearing, in fact, some things I've heard, I can't tell you some of the stuff I've heard that's people have hitched to grace or this dimension, but you know, some people are doing talking weird things like the book of James was not written to the Christian because it has the word works in it. You know, I mean, garbage like that. But I read the book of James in the first chapter, second verse says, "Behold, my beloved brethren." That sounds like he's writing to the brethren and the sistren. To me, right? Just reading the Bible. But Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So, man, he delivered his son in redemption for us, but also, man, he's freely given us everything, and it's not dependent upon our works or whether we had a bad hair day or any of that. Aren't you thankful for this dimension of grace? But listen, guys, that's not all there is to grace. And that's what this young man was telling me after I was teaching. He said, "You know what I found myself doing? Just focusing on this, the fact that God loves me anyway." He said, "I just started getting selfish." He said, "All I was focused on is what His grace did for me, and what you're challenging me to do is to go to the next stage of realizing that because of what He did, you and I are supposed to do something with this." Which leads me to the second phase. We're not going to be one-dimensional Christians, are we? Right. So the second dimension of grace that I want to talk about today is discipleship grace. Everybody say discipleship grace. Okay, now look, do you know you can be a believer and not be a disciple? Do you know not all believers are disciples? Do you know that? You can go to heaven and not be a disciple? Do you know that? Okay, also another trick question, do you know that there are not going to be any tears in heaven? There are. Again, I told you it's a trick question. Okay, there are going to be tears in heaven. What did Jesus say He's going to be doing? Why do you think He might have to wipe some tears away in heaven? Certainly they could be tears of joy, but I can tell you another reason why He might is because there were some believers that didn't become disciples. And they didn't reach people that God called, that He had called them and graced them to reach. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Aren't you thankful for that? "And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." So here the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10 says he is who he is by the grace of God, but then he said that his grace was not in vain, but he said he labored more than they all by grace. Now here is a curse word to people who are just one-dimensional grace people, and that's work, labor, effort, service. They think that, you know, and they're going to be deceived when they get to heaven because it's not equal opportunity there. There are rewards there. Do you understand? I said there are rewards there based on how you and I respond to what He assigned to you and me to do. And here the Apostle Paul said the difference is I'm not laboring to be approved by God. I'm laboring to manifest His love to people. And I'm doing it by grace. The labor I do, man, I mean, listen, I'm working. Okay? I mean, I'm busy. But I'm doing it by grace. This is another dimension. It's discipleship grace. It means you roll up your sleeves, you get involved with the kingdom. It's the things that you guys are doing, going out in the week, but you do it by grace. You're not doing it to earn, you know, brownie points in heaven. You're doing it by His grace. But let me tell you, you're building something significant when you do that, because you're reaching people, you're touching people. Amen? He made effort. He worked by drawing on this discipleship grace. Now, there are a lot of people that God's called here to Calvary Cathedral International, but you're here today. And you receive the benefit of being here. But there are other people that God's called. Yeah? And they're not coming unless you and I go reach them. Yeah? And we have a job to do. So grace is not only, and I hear this definition a lot, that this is the definition of grace, that it's God's influence upon the heart. And it is His influence upon the heart. But let me tell you what additionally it is. It's His enablement in us to do what He called us to do, to be disciples. And disciples mean you're disciplined. It means you do stuff. It means you obey. Yeah? You just obey. It means you manifest fruit. Do you understand you can manifest something other than fruit? How many of you are alive? How many of you know you have flesh? Do you know every day you can manifest fruit, or you can manifest flesh? You can manifest Jesus, or you can manifest your flesh and then put a scripture on it and say that was Jesus. Y'all remember the Wendy's commercial? Y'all remember the old Wendy's commercial? The little old lady that was, you know, real short little lady, looked up over the counter. What'd she say? Where's the beef? And I heard the Holy Spirit one day say to me, where's the fruit? And it is in us, I know, but you and I have a choice. We have grace to manifest fruit or flesh. One day on Christmas Eve, I'm in Walmart in Decatur. And I never go to Walmart in Decatur, because if I have to go to Walmart in Decatur, well, at least at that time, I've been pastoring there. I pastored there 24 years. I'm going to run into a half a dozen to a dozen people that I've got to take time to stop and minister to. All of them call me pastor, and three quarters of them aren't still in my church. But anyway, so I don't go to Walmart. It's not what I do, except in my love for my little bride here on the front row, she needed something on Christmas Eve. So I'm in Walmart on Christmas Eve. And so this time, Dave, man, I was blessed. Man, I only had to talk to two people. And man, I found what I wanted. Man, I went on a hunt and I found it quickly. And now, you know, like all good men, we're scoping out the lines, right? I mean, I'm looking over here, over here, over here, you know. And so now, you know, I found the shortest line. You know, it was about four people in front of me. The rest of them, there's, you know, half a dozen or more. So, man, I'm standing here and I'm in the best line, praise God. And I'm getting ready to head home and do something else my wife wants me to do on Christmas Eve, you know. So anyway, I'm standing there. But I mean, after about 2 minutes, I made a discovery. This wasn't, though it was the shortest line, there was a reason it was short. Because it had the slowest clerk. And I'm not exaggerating. Here she is, okay? And I'm looking. I'm thinking, I know the manager of Walmart. I know him. I mean, this girl, I don't know what she needs to do, but she doesn't need to be doing this. Right? And I'm thinking that, and I noticed in the line next to me, where there were six people, now I see that my secretary is in this line. And now I notice she's back here, and now she's here. And now, you know, there's finally they got, about two people got by, and then she's now up there, and I'm still here. In fact, she gets done, and there's still one person in front of me, and she's waving goodbye. On Christmas Eve, man. And I mean, now all the other lines are, you know, the other lines are backed up more, and I can't get out. So I'm stuck like Chuck. Okay? I'm going somewhere. Remember, we're on the dimensions of grace? I'm telling you which dimension I'm tempted to get out of. And so I'm thinking all these things. I know Gary Shelton. I mean, Gary, who? Well, anyway, I know the guy. I forgot. I think I mixed stores up. But anyway, I know the guy who... I think I got this, but anyway, but I know the manager, and I'm going to talk to him. I'm thinking about, man, I'm with righteous indignation. I mean, this woman does not need to be on the cash register. And I mean, you know, she's just doing this. And, Jesus. And so, man, I've got steam coming out my ears. And I'm getting ready to bless her out really good. In the name of the Lord, of course. Right? And so, you know, I get up there finally. Okay. I get up there finally. I'm going to tell her off. Okay. I'm getting ready to manifest flesh. How many of you know God loves us? Okay, but I'm getting ready to manifest flesh, and I just felt, but all of a sudden I just felt to grab her hand. How are you tonight? Merry Christmas. And she just burst into tears. And she said, "I'm not doing well." She said, "I don't know where my daughter is. It's Christmas, and I don't know where she's at. I'm sitting here. I can't even think. I can't. I don't know. I can't even add." Wow. And I said, "Well, man, could I pray for you, for your daughter?" Well, it didn't matter now. There's nobody behind me. They all found another line. And so I start praying for her, man. I mean, I get word of knowledge. I start blessing her. I came that close. I came that close to manifesting flesh. I came that close in the name of, you know what? God loves me anyway. We're only human. We all have bad hair days. To missing, I know God loves me. That's a given. I know He's accepted me. I know I'm blessed. But that's not the question. The question are you available? Have you moved into this other dimension of grace for not only Him to bless you and come to you, but are you in that place where He'll flow through you? Even in Walmart, in a long line. You know what I'm saying? You're praying, right? Hey, you're blessed. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. God's blessed you with everything. I want a close parking spot. Right? And so, man, you're driving. Hallelujah. There it is. You see it. You have spied your spot. Man, I mean, my prayers have been answered. I am blessed. And you know, you're driving up there, and all of a sudden somebody else sees the same spot. And you go, and you cut them off in the name of the Lord. Because you're blessed, and God has answered your prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, guys, many of us are forsaking discipleship grace. Right. Right. in the name of God is good to me, grace. But God is good to you so he can be good through you. He has blessed you so you can be a blessing. And if you misunderstand this dimension of grace and you stop at all these, you know, all these things he's done in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Man, that's all about what he did for you. All about you're seated together in heavenly places. All about he's blessed you. All about, you know, he's forgiven you. All about that. But remember, if your understanding of grace stops at Ephesians 3, it's incomplete. Because Ephesians 4 says, therefore, because of all these things he's done for you, on your behalf, walk worthy of the calling. Walk in love, in peace, all these things. And I came that short as a pastor, that close as a pastor, but more than that, as a son of God, to not walk in discipleship grace in the name of, you know, I'm just blessed. And you know what? She doesn't know who she's messing with. No, what I didn't know is who I really was and what it's for. Is it really all about short grocery lines and close parking spots? That's what it's about. That's what life's about, isn't it? I said, man, that's it. I'm telling you guys, I was so devastated at the condition of my own soul. Not my spirit, my soul. When I came that close to blessing that person out. And I mean, it was only his grace and his mercy on me that helped me in that moment end up ministering to her. Now look, guys, if you understand what I'm saying, then you got the message. Anything else I say really doesn't matter a lot. If you get this and you apply it to your life. You know, Paul and Patsy and Janice and I led a great leadership team, and we raised up leaders, and this is how we lived. Paul and Patsy are blessed. I mean, they overrun several businesses, but, you know, they didn't have to do this, but they laid their lives down to help me love people and model this kind of thing for people. And you know what? It's uncomfortable doing this. It's not always the easiest thing to do it Jesus' way. Right. It's inconvenient, actually. If it was about convenience, they wouldn't have stuck with us for 24 years. They just go another, you know, other people that we know that have means, they just go isolate themselves, become hermits. But these guys helped me help me walk this out and model this out before people. Yeah? And that's what Bob and Joy Nichols have done here for years. And that's what God's called us to do. It's not convenient. It's not about convenience. It's not about what's in my best interest. It's not about, you know, what just gives me a warm fuzzy all the time. It's about what's best for others. How can I serve others? How can I love others? And we have grace for this too. I said, we have grace for this. Say, I have grace for this. And if we stop short and we only are one-dimensional grace people, we can miss the assignment of why we've been given grace at all. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven, but you might just go empty. Or you might just go with less than what God planned. Amen? Praise God. So, look at a couple scriptures with me, and then we're going to go to the third point, and it's not the last. I started to call this 6D grace. Because there's six dimensions as I see. I'm just going to share three of them this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, look at that with me. Hebrews 12. I just want to show you that there's grace for this too. And it's another dimension of grace, okay? Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now let's stop there. How many of you want to walk in the fullness of the kingdom in your life in such a way that it's not going to be shaken? Where you're an unshakable kingdom person. Okay, am I talking to the right group? All right, you want that. All right, let me see, who am I talking to? All right, you want that. All right, now watch. You got to read the rest of the verse. Okay? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have what?
Grace.
Let us have what?
Grace.
By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So, you know, I hear some grace people, one-dimensional grace people, just talking about how Jesus is serving us. He's washing the disciples' feet, all of that. But here it says, you and I have grace to serve. And if we're gonna be part of an unshakable kingdom, then we've got to move into this discipleship grace, this grace to serve that's at the cost of our flesh. Because if you're gonna be a leader in the kingdom, here's the deal. If somebody bites your head off, you do not have grace to bite back. If somebody says something to you, and you know, look, my wife calls me her walking concordance. I know the address of a lot of Bible verses. Okay? So I can let you have it in the name of the Lord. I can cut you up and dice you up with scriptures, but that doesn't bless you. If you bless me out, you know what I mean? You bite my head off, you say something that just goes all over me. Now let me ask, see if I'm in the right place. Has anybody ever done that with you? Even in the church. Now, you hadn't been saved very long if it hasn't. I mean, oh man, sometimes it just something's going all over me and they're saying something. Well, here's what I have grace to do. If Rufus says that to me, you know, like he might. Okay, then you know what I'm going to say? And this is what I train people. You know what, Rufus? I'm sure they're... Grab my hand. I'm not going to hurt it. I'm sure there's, you know, we've not been considerate in that area. I'm going to pray about that and I'm going to get back to you. Say, I'm going to pray about that. Say that with me. I'm going to pray about that. And I'm going to get back to you. Why am I doing that? Because I'm tempted to manifest flesh instead of fruit at the time. And if I manifest flesh, I'm not going to move in the full dimension of grace that God has. And I'm going to cut off my relationship with Him. So what do I do? It's the same thing Jesus did when John the Baptist was beheaded. He was tempted to leverage his influence with the multitudes and go take Herod out. You know that had to be a temptation. But what did he do? Anybody know what he did? Can anybody tell me what he did? He went apart to pray. Why do you think he went apart to pray? Just the same reason I was told Rufus, I'm going to pray about that and I'm going to get back to you. What am I really praying about? Getting my emotions under control. So I don't react in the flesh, but I respond in the spirit. That's what you and I have grace to do all the time. Now you can go complain up. You can gripe up. Man, Paul and I, we've helped one another. Let's just say that iron sharpening iron. Deal with things that were uncomfortable, okay? But here's what we did. We allowed each other enough space to talk through it and pray through it until we could respond in the Spirit. And that, my friend, if you're going to be a disciple or a leader, that is the grace that you're going to walk in. And I have grace to do that, and you have grace to do that. Say, I have grace to do that too. One more scripture, and then we'll look at the last one we'll talk about this morning. Is this okay?
Amen.
Then Titus. Turn to Titus chapter 2. And everybody say, this is grace too. Yeah, verse 11, for the grace of God, is this grace? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So this is grace too. It's discipleship grace. If in this dimension of grace, I'm not letting my flesh hang out. I'm not letting my flesh have authority. I'm living righteously. This is the way I live righteous. I just draw on the grace of God in me. God didn't give you grace to sin. Are you with me? No, man. He gave you grace to live right. And if you sinned, you got outside of grace. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you, but you left this dimension of grace. Now, number three, and this is, and I'm just going to spend a couple minutes. How many of you give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. No, I'm just going to take a couple minutes here. Praise God. I'm telling you guys, when God gave me this revelation and really helped me to see these dimensions of grace, I'm telling you, I've taught them before but never put it together like this. This is powerful. This is powerful stuff. Man, even though I'm teaching it, it's powerful. It's all I teach is powerful stuff, right? Anyway, this, I mean, you get a hold of this, it's awesome. So Ephesians, the number three is assignment grace. Assignment grace. Everybody say assignment grace. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. To each one of us, grace was given. Now, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, each one of us has a grace gift, and it's a measure of Christ's gift. In your assignment, you don't have... You're not an apostle. If you think you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, all rolled up in one, you're just a legend in your own mind. That's what you are. No, you're not all that. But, you know, what I have discovered, here's what I have discovered. I have discovered that each one of us has inclinations in those fivefold. Each one of us... You know, you're either apostolic, where you're a systems person and order is the answer to everything. Okay, I want you to listen to me. These five areas, because you'll identify yourself. Okay, one of these areas, you're going to have one or two of these areas. You're a systems person. That means your order is everything, and systems that's the answer to everything. That's apostolic. You're a prophetic person, where you love prayer and worship and the move of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and that's really the answer to everything. Okay? Or you're evangelistic, and outreach is all... And look, anybody that's not gone out with you, you know, to win these people to Jesus is really probably lost themselves to you. That's your... Okay? Then, you know, or you're a pastor, where you're counseling and one-on-one, and you're, you know, ministering care for people, and, you know, you have all this hospitality and all this, you know, mercy and all this. You've got that. And then, or you're a teacher, where you think the only answer to everything is to teach the Word. Now, let me ask you a question. Where did you fall in one of those? Yeah. Lift your hand. If you came under one of those, everybody ought to have your hand up. You have desire, but what happens is you're passionate about that. Well, we need it all. And I appreciate your passion, but just because you like order and systems, we're also going to let the Spirit of God move. And I know you want the Spirit of God to move, but we're going to have order and systems so that it doesn't blow up. Yeah? All of these things. So each of us has a different measure of Christ's gift according to the grace that we received in our unique assignment. Paul said, in fact, look at 2 Corinthians 10, 13, and I've got the airport in sight. We're about to land. Okay? So don't don't check out. Don't jump out before we land. All right? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13. But we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. Did God appoint us a sphere of grace for you? And it's an assignment that He gave to you. A sphere of ministry that He assigned to you. It's specific. I call it assignment grace. I can't do what Kevin and Amy do. But He can't do what I do. I sure can't sing like John Hall. I cannot do that. I'm not even going to try. The anointing. See? And Dave, man. See, I only sing like them in the shower. I get up here, it just doesn't work. But, you know, I mean, Dave, he's got such a range. My God, he's just, man, I'd love to, if I was going to sing, I'd love to sing like that, but I can't. But I can do what God assigned me to do. Are you with me? And He's assigned each of us specific grace. Romans 12, 6, each of us has received gifts to function in the grace assignment that God's given us. Now, I've got a word for somebody here today. The same word came to me yesterday at the men's advance in Colorado Springs, but it just stayed with me, so I'm going to share it today with you. There's someone or several people here today who you feel like you're either too old or the opportunity has passed you by, or you're too isolated, or circumstances, physical limitations, financial limitations, whatever, is keeping you basically grounded. And you just feel like there's no hope. And I've come to you today to tell you that in 2013, God's got new assignments for you. And here's the picture of what I want, the example I want to give you. And this is a specific word for someone, and we're going to pray for these people. The Apostle John is one of the greatest apostles that whoever lived, had all this wonderful ministry. He actually pastored the church at Ephesus before Timothy took it over. Man, all these signs and wonders, things were going great in his life, but now he's 90. He's in exile on the Isle of Patmos, a rock, an island of 6 miles by 10 miles. Isolated, restricted, and old. And in that place of isolation, in that place of restriction, seemed like there was no hope. In that place of, you know, I'm 90, I've been there, done that, and you know, Jesus came to visit him again. And he gave him a new assignment. And you and I have it in our Bibles. It's the last book of the Bible. And I've got a word for someone here today who's felt too restricted, too limited, too isolated, or too old. You felt washed up. You felt, you know, my best years are in the past. Do you have breath? Jesus, John got in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Man, it's important we get into worship, isn't it? God's got a new assignment for you. I'm talking to somebody here today. God's got a new assignment for you. If you've got breath, I don't care where your place of restriction is. Some of you need to step out of your limitation, and you need to stop excusing your obedience on your restricted financial condition or whatever it might be, physical condition, and you need to make a declaration. I'm not washed up. I'm not used up. I'm not finished. I'm not done, because I'm still here on earth. I'm not too old. And I'm stepping in today. It's like you're here, and you've been trying, but when all you've got to do is get a revelation. This assignment, Grace, is you've just got to know. You get with God and you find out what He's called you to do, and you step into it. You just say, you know what, I'm going there. I have never felt adequate yet for anything God's called me to do. I've never felt adequate. I never had enough money. I never had enough education. I never had in the natural enough favor. I never had anything completely like it was going to work out. But all I had to do was have a revelation, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm not too old, I'm not too restricted, I'm not too isolated, and You're not finished with me, and I'll just step into that. Amen? I'm stepping into that. I'm stepping into that. I'm stepping into my assignment, Grace. Listen, the world is waiting on you to step into your assignment. I'm sorry what's happened. I'm sorry they were mean to you. I'm sorry they didn't recognize you, but Jesus does. And He sent me here today to tell you He's not done with you. He's not finished with you. He yet has assignment for you that will impact people over the ages. The question is, what will you do? Will you step into it? Amen. If that's you, if you felt that way, if you've been there where at least the enemy's really been badgering you, but today you're saying, no more. I'm stepping into my assignment, and I'm doing it with confidence because He is my adequacy. 1 Corinthians 3:5, He is my adequacy. He is my sufficiency. Amen. If that's you and you've felt any of those areas, God's dealing with you right now, and by standing up, you're saying, I'm stepping in. Just stand up right now, wherever you're at, all over the house. Just step in. Stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Just lift your hands. Father, we thank You. We love You. We worship You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then then what we're going to do is those that are around you. What I want you to do, those that are around them right now, I want you to lay hands on them because we're going to agree with them. I want you to make a declaration. Just put one hand to heaven. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I receive grace to fulfill my assignment. You are not done with me. You're not finished with me. I'm not washed up. I'm not too young. I'm not too old. I'm not too isolated. I'm not too uneducated. With you, I have enough. I have enough money. I have enough resources. I have enough favor. I have enough grace to do what You called me to do. And I reject the lies of the enemy. And I receive Your grace to finish my race in Jesus' name. Now just begin to pray over them, guys, right now. Father, we stand with our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. We declare, Father, grace, 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 great 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 grace, in Jesus' name. Great grace, great grace, great grace, great grace, great grace. See, grace to see, grace to see, grace to see, grace to see what God sees. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Great grace, Father. Great grace, Father. Now let's all stand up together. Thank you, Father. Now I'm not done. I'm only unhooking. But tonight, we're going to lay hands on everybody. The staff is going to help me. I'm not going to do it all myself. But there, I'm telling you, God's got new doors. He's got open doors. Did you have something, brother? Go ahead. Let's want you speak that scripture. Zechariah 4:6, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's verse 6.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay, 7. Go ahead, read it.
Who art you, or thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And I think that's explanatory. The mountains in people's lives are going to be removed, and it's all about grace. As you speak to the mountain, it's going to be removed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, you know what? That's a word from God. That's a complimentary word from God. Now listen, the mountains or any obstacles that in your mind, especially in your mind, it could be, though, some natural circumstances. You know God's told you to do something, a financial circumstance, a people circumstance, it doesn't matter. But the headstone or the capstone is the mountain is the obstacle. The headstone or the capstone is the finishing. And he said that the obstacles are going to be removed and the finishing of it is going to be fulfilled in your life by you shouting grace to that thing. Hallelujah! 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 Man, well, you got me pumped, brother. That was a word. See, it lets us know. See, I'm not adequate, but when I needed something to finish, God needed something to finish, and now I needed that word. Now listen, what's the obstacle? It could be in your mind. It could be finances. I'm not saying it's not real, but I'm telling you it's not more real and it's not more powerful than God's grace. Amen? And then what is the goal? What do you know God's assigned you to do? Let's just get that, picture that before you. You got it? Okay? And let's just do that. Let's just do the word. You got it pictured? Lift your hands and let's shout grace to that mountain and grace to the finishing. Father, we declare grace, 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 grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, come on, let's give God praise for the ministry this morning.